The world's largest smartphone maker, Samsung, has halted production of its new high-end phone, the Galaxy Note 7. It comes a month after the South Korean company recalled more than 2 million of the devices amid reports that some of the phone batteries were catching fire. Jill Schlesinger is business analyst with CBS News and host of Jill on Money. She joins us from New York. Hi, Jill.
Hello.
Well, how big of a deal is this for Samsung?
Well, it's pretty major. They temporarily halted the production. They're investigating that spate of fires. But this was supposedly the safe Galaxy Note 7, the replacement unit, the one intended to help customers who own one of the 2.5 million that were already recalled from the battery fires. Look, I think this is a big deal because it's not going away. Even if Samsung does manage to fix the issue, there's really no guarantee it's going to have the support from the U.S. carriers or international carriers. Stock down 1.5% on the Korean stock market on the news. I should say, though, that it is 33% higher on the year. So far, they're weathering the storm.
You know, I took a flight not too long ago, and they said at the start of the flight, if you've got one of these, you have to make sure that it's completely turned off before we can take off. So this is obviously something that is impacting a whole lot. And Samsung's going to keep an eye on. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, though, Jill, there is some new research on the gig economy from the McKinsey Global Institute. Now, the gig economy is people that, you know, don't necessarily work a typical 9-to-5 job, maybe an Uber driver. How many people, first of all, are in the gig economy?
Well, you know, this McKinsey survey, fascinating, was a survey of the U.S. and five European countries, and something around 20-30% of that population of those countries engaging in independent work, 68 million people here in the United States. So this is a massive number.
And these people often do not get benefits the way that you would with a traditional job.
Right. I mean, we should remember that some of them who are getting benefits from their real job. So this is like a side gig, right? But others, you're right, if it's their primary form of income, they're not getting benefits. That could be changing. You may have heard that, in fact, Uber drivers are now able to open up retirement accounts through Betterment, the robo-advisor. And we could start to see some more scaling in of things like that. But, you know, look, it's not going to replace working at a 40-hour-a-week job with a Fortune 500 company that has an awesome 401k, a great match, and fabulous healthcare options. So this is definitely one drawback of being part of the gig economy.
And as researchers like those at McKinsey look at the gig economy and the people who are working in it, do they find that the workers are working in the gig economy because that's their only option or because they want the flexibility?
Well, a little bit of both, because, you know, if we look at here in the U.S., 14% of those gig economy participants are saying, I'm doing this because that's it. It's the necessity, right? But 40% are saying, hey, I'm doing this by choice for supplemental income. And I would venture to guess, not just because technology has changed, but our attitudes as workers have changed dramatically since the financial crisis and the Great Recession. And I think more and more of us want to have different streams of income so that if something bad were to happen in our primary occupation, that we'd have something to fall back on. And I think that is the part of the gig economy that I find really kind of fascinating. Not the ones who have to do it, but the ones who are choosing to do it, supplementing what they have.
That's Jill Schlesinger, business analyst with CBS News and host of Jill on Money. Jill, thanks as always.
Take care.